Chapter 8. Because I had not visited Skippy since I came aboard again, I stopped by his escape pod man cave. The new one, not his original escape pod that was now tiny pieces in orbit. "Hey, Skippy," I announced as I stuck my head through the too small hatchway. "How I... what is that?" Somehow he had decorated the place in my absence. "It's a Velvis, Joe. Classy, huh?" "A Velvis?" "Oh," he sighed disgustedly. "You are such an uncultured cretin, Joe. It is a painting of Elvis on velvet."
I know what a Velvis is, Skippy.
My grandmother had one over her fireplace. Or she did. And, oh, I see you had the classic dogs playing poker, too. Technically, the version I got is titled A Friend in Need. See? The dog in the foreground is using his back paw to give a card to a friend. That is so touching. Plus, it's cheating, and you know I'm all about cheating. Yeah, I see that. I got on my knees to look more closely. That was a version of the Dogs Playing Poker series that I had not seen before. Amazing, isn't it? The beer can chuckled. I see something new every time I look at it, he added wistfully. Yeah, it is cool, I agreed. Damn, I should have brought something up here for my cabin. I don't even have a photo of my family. I looked closer at the dogs. Hey, this is a real painting, not a print. Of course, Joe, I wanted to class the place up a bit. Only the best for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't, the original painting, is it? If it was, would that be a good thing or a bad thing? Depends. If you stole it or stole the money to buy it, that would be decidedly a bad thing. Oh, well, don't you worry. That is, a copy I had made. Really? Let's pretend you believe me and move on. Anywho, he was anxious to change the subject, what brings you to my bodacious domicile?
Well, what happened? You told me your escape pod got vaporized by a maser cannon.
My original man cave got ejected and blown up, Joe. Fortunately, after Count Chocula warned me what the UN planned to do, I took a closer look at the dropship flying up from Fort Bragg. The flight crew disconnected the internal cameras and microphones, but I knew there was an assault team aboard that dragon.
How did you know that?
Skippy was often reluctant to reveal the secret behind his amazing abilities, and I was curious. When the pilots of that dragon spoke to the duty officer aboard the Dutchman, I could hear 7 other people breathing in the background.
Duh!
Aha. I nodded smugly. Those Delta guys got sloppy. They should have buttoned up their faceplates, gone on internal oxygen to prevent you from hearing them.
Well, that would not have worked, Mr. Smarty Pants. As you should know, when Kristang suits are sealed but being operated in a breathable air environment, they conserve internal oxygen by extracting and filtering oxygen from the atmosphere. The fans pulling the air across the filters make a distinctive whining noise.
Okay, but you would not have known there were 7 of them.
Wrong again, oh foolish one.
Joe, the next time you seek to question my extreme awesomeness, do yourself a favor and get a clue what you are talking about. I was able to identify 7 people in the main cabin because there were 7 different breathing patterns. If their suits had been sealed, I would have heard 7 suit intake fans, each of which is very distinct if you know what to listen for. Now, will you continue interrupting me with stupid questions, or can I continue the tale of how my man cave got blown up?
Skippy, it is by asking questions that I learn a lot. I had no idea your hearing was so good. I apologize. Please continue.
He sniffed. Anywho, when I realized the crew of that dragon were up to some sort of wacky shenanigans, only the beer can would describe an attempt by armor-suited elite troops to seize control of the ship as wacky shenanigans.
Skippy, you need to take this kind of thing seriously. I did take it seriously, at least as much as I could, considering the whole thing was like watching monkeys in a circus.
The Delta Force should wear funny little hats on their helmets and big floppy clown shoes.
It does not sound like you took it seriously.
Come on, Joe. They had no chance of succeeding. 0. Well, not 0 exactly, but hey, pretty close to it. Their assault plan had no imagination. It barely entertained me at all. They should ask you to plan their next op.
Because I would think up some creative off-the-wall genius idea that might succeed?
Oh, well, I meant because watching you try to plan an action against me would be freaking hilarious. But let's go with the creative genius thing if you like.
Anywho, when I realized there was a Delta team aboard that dragon, I took a closer look at the people aboard this ship and saw several of the CIC crew had elevated heart rates and other signs of nervous tension. At that point, I asked Lauren Poole to visit me. She moved into a storage locker and replaced me in the escape pod with a decoy beer can.
You had a decoy? When did you make that?
During our second mission, while you were on Newark and I was rebuilding the ship. My machines were cranking out a lot of parts back then, and I figured, why not make a decoy?
Why would you need a decoy before today?
Because if you remember, some idiot named Joe Bishop picked me up and tried to send me away aboard our old frigate, the Flower, when we were ambushed and trapped by a squadron of Therenan destroyers.
I did that to save you.
No, you did that because you were too stupid to think of a plan that would actually work. Joe, what matters is I had a decoy available, so Poole put it in a locker, and nobody knew the difference. The CIC crew ejected the empty escape pod with the decoy and destroyed it. Then I went quiet for a while, so they would think they succeeded.
That was a hell of a risk, Skippy. Why didn't you just take remote control of that dragon and send the Delta team back down to Fort Bragg, or, like, land them someplace in the middle of nowhere so they couldn't cause trouble?
Because, Joe, he used that voice of infinite patience people use when talking with small children, I needed to buy time to make sure I had full awareness of the situation. Even for my incredible awesomeness, that took 10 minutes in meat sack time. It was kind of tense for me. Plus, I wanted the assault team to think they were succeeding, because that prevented them from launching an even dumber plan that could have gotten innocent little monkeys killed. And it gave me an opportunity to position assets like the dropship I used to get you off the surface.
Oh. Damn, Skippy, that was really smart.
What? Of course it was smart. It's me, Joe. Duh!
I meant that was smart in the monkey brain sort of thinking that you are usually not good at, you arrogant shithead.
Arrogant? Shithead? This is how you offer praise?
It's how I offer praise to you.
Oh, good point. Well, he sighed. Since we're having kind of a moment here, I must confess there is another reason I allowed the assault team to think they had killed or disabled me.
That puzzled me, so I thought for a moment. Then I snapped my fingers.
I know. You wanted to know what UNEF Command planned to do after they seized control of the ship.
That would have been a good idea. I should have thought of that.
Then what was your reason?
It was a golden opportunity to screw with monkeys, Joe!
He laughed.
No way could I miss that!
You should have seen the faces of the CIC crew when Poole walked in the doorway. I had been feeding false images to the CIC. They thought the Delta team was leisurely clearing compartments on their way forward. It was truly dangerous.
No, it was hilarious.
You put people in danger so you could amuse yourself.
Yes, duh, of course I...
Unless doing that was a bad thing. In that case, I did it for all those legitimate reasons you mentioned.
Oh, boy.
Crap. With Skippy, you had to take what you could get and live with the results. If we monkeys did not amuse him, he might find another species to screw with.
No harm done, I guess. It pisses me off that UNEF Command took an action they thought might damage or kill you.
What really pissed me off was not just that the idiots in charge of the operation had decided to test whether Skippy was truly as invincible as he was. What if they had succeeded? Humanity would have one broken-down starship and an Elder Wormhole controller module that could be used only one time. The idea that UNEF Command would take such a gigantic risk made up my mind about something. Before, when talking with Sims, I had questioned whether I had the right to substitute my judgment for that of the UN Security Council, which represented most of Earth's military and economic power. Talking with Adams, knowing she would not be coming with us, had me depressed, then angry. After learning what a bunch of reckless fuck-ups were running UNEF Command, I was no longer questioning my own decision-making ability. Did I have the right to substitute my very experienced judgment for that of my dirt-side superior officers? Answer. Hell yes. Getting carefully up from the couch, I stuck my feet through the open hatch, having learned that going backwards was the best way to exit a Therenan escape pod.
Thank you, Skippy.
Hey, where are you going? I thought we could admire my new artwork together.
Later, okay? Right now, I need to go bitch-slap some idiots.
Oh, goody! Can I watch?
Sims must have a sixth sense, because she intercepted me just outside the door to my cabin.
Where are you going, sir? she asked with a head cocked to one side and arms folded across her chest. With a thumb, I pointed to the cabin door. To change. I looked down at my disheveled and inappropriate civilian clothes. When I left the ship, there was a dress uniform hanging in the closet. I'll put it on before I talk with UNEF Command. She moved to stand between me and the door. Why are you talking with them? Because they need to hear what a bunch of... No, that's not why you're doing it. You're doing it to make yourself feel better, even though you know it won't change their minds one bit and will make it harder on us. Sims, come on. I just want to... You want to make yourself feel better by yelling at a bunch of morons. If you're angry and need to blow off steam, go to the gym or the rifle range, sir. Seeing that my anger was now directed at her, she nodded with satisfaction. You're our commander. You don't get to do things just because they make you feel good. What is our plan after this op? Sims, we don't even have a plan for this op. Goal, then. What is our goal after we kill those Maxalt ships? That was something I had not thought about at all. Not one bit. Come back to Earth, I guess.
Exactly. Personally, I would like to come back home and not be thrown in the disciplinary barracks, if you can arrange that. You publicly chewing out and embarrassing high-ranking UNEF officers is something they won't forget or forgive. Other than blowing off steam by yelling at a bunch of dirt-side assholes, what do you expect to accomplish?
Sir. Sims, I took my hand off the door control. Sometimes you are truly, like, mind-bogglingly annoying.
If you're mad at me now, we can deal with that later. Right now, the ship needs a captain, and our new crew needs to see their commander as calm, cool, and in command of himself.
We had 6 former pirates aboard the ship. Me, Sims, Smythe, Reed, Poole, and Porter. Sims was my new executive officer. I told her she needed to find someone to fill in with logistics, and Nagatha volunteered to handle that role once she was fully operational as the ship's AI. The only problem was our ship's new AI had no experience with taking care of monkeys, so Sims would need to work with her. Sims also needed to offload her work in the hydroponics gardens, except she told me she enjoyed working in the gardens. It was relaxing and reduced her stress. I agreed, and I also insisted someone else needed to be primarily responsible for the hydroponics. So, we had 6 experienced pirates, 2 pilots if you don't count me, and 2 special operations soldiers. 6 monkeys were not enough to fill a barrel, so we had to rely largely on 20 new people. Of those 20 volunteers, 6 were civilian engineers and scientists who had been aboard the Dutchman to study the ship and learn whatever they could from Skippy. The 6 who signed on were people who could not resist seeing the ship in action, despite the warning about curiosity killing the cat. The 6 engineers were from America, China, Britain, Japan, India, and Germany, making for a very international group. One of the scientists, a Chinese woman, put the situation in perspective for me.
If your mission fails, I am dead whether I remain on Earth or not, correct? I would prefer to see what is out there.
I appreciated her attitude. Okay, so that left 14 military personnel who took a leap of faith and signed on to be not-so-merry pirates. 5 pilots from the USA, Britain, France, and India. The remaining 9 were special operations soldiers, and I used the term soldier generically. 3 of the Delta team signed on. We also got 2 U.S. Marine Corps raiders who had been on a training mission aboard the Yuki-Shan and had been inside the Dragon dropship when Skippy faked orders to send the Dragon to fly over to the Dutchman. There were the 3 people on Smythe's racing team, 1 SAS, 1 Canadian, and 1 Polish soldier. Finally, with the raiders was a German soldier with the Bundeswehr's Kommando Spezialkraft. Smythe was going to have a tremendous challenge integrating all those nationalities into his team. He also needed to deal with the rivalry between the Delta guys, who mostly came from Ranger units, and the Marine Raiders. I wished Smythe the best of luck, then moved on to deal with my own problems. Everyone who had not signed on to join the merry band of pirates, we loaded them into our 1 remaining big Condor dropship, and it was flown down to the island of Barbados by Fireball Reed and a Royal Air Force pilot, a new guy named Paul Beezer. We chose Barbados because it was remote from any troublesome air defenses, plus I wanted to show the people who refused to join us that I had no hard feelings toward them. Reed gave me the stink eye when she came back aboard. I think she would have appreciated more than a few minutes in tropical paradise before she got stuck inside the Dutchman for months, maybe even years. Following the very wise advice of Sims, I ordered us to jump away as soon as possible, using the stored energy and the jump drive capacitors while Skippy was still getting the main reactor back online. Our first jump was only 10 times farther than the moon's orbit. I had several reasons for doing that. The purpose of jumping was to get us safely beyond the range of UNEF command, where they had no chance to try anything stupid. While in orbit, Skippy had been making adjustments to the jump drive controller system, and monkeys had been screwing with the system to learn how it worked. The beer can told me he didn't want to risk a major jump until he had the system tuned up the way he liked, so we performed only a short jump. A short jump was also safe for us in case anything major went wrong with the ship. We could get the crew back to Earth in dropships. Another reason for a short jump was to give our 20 new and perhaps somewhat reluctant crew members an opportunity to see our homeworld from a distance. We were not so far that the planet was only a dot. From where we were, Earth was still a white, blue, and green disk. Far enough that as the Dutchman drifted and the reactor began recharging the drive capacitors, people could process the idea that we had left our home and we would not be seeing it again for a long time. Maybe never. If any of the new crew had second thoughts, this was their opportunity to speak up. All anyone needed to do to get a ride home was to contact me or Skippy or Sims, and we would arrange to put them aboard a Dragon and have Skippy fly it down to Earth. Fortunately, no one changed their minds. I'm sure people had second thoughts. Hell, I did, while looking at the big blue marble from so far away. Assuring that our new crew was truly committed to the mission was a good reason for performing a short jump. My main reason for the jump was to see the reaction of UNEF Command and the governments of the Security Council when they realized the Flying Dutchman was going out to kill 2 of the most powerful warships in the galaxy, and there was nothing they could do about it. My hope was that as the inescapable reality sunk in, government officials would gain a new perspective and change their minds. Because these government officials were humans, I was of course bitterly disappointed. The only immediate result of my action was to kick off a furious round of ass-covering and blame-shifting on Earth. Per my instructions, Skippy filtered the messages we received from Earth, so we did not have to listen to the threats and pleas for reason and worthless blah blah blah. The only time I spoke with an official was just before we jumped again. I was contacted by a U.S. Army general in command of the Old Ironsides 1st Armored Division. Skippy filtered out most of the messages from Earth. I think he liked this guy, or maybe felt sorry for him, or just thought I should talk with someone before we left on our suicide mission. My parents, my sister, and Adams were all being watched too closely for me to call them privately. My parents knew I was okay, that I was aboard the ship again, because Skippy snuck a little bot into their bedroom and projected a text message on the ceiling. It was good that my parents had some idea what was going on with me. It sucked that I couldn't tell them myself. I had to glance at a display to remember what time it was in El Paso, which didn't matter because he could have been calling me from anywhere. We kept comms voice only, so I didn't have a visual cue from a window in his office. Day, General. Colonel Bishop. He sounded mildly surprised. It was a good sign that he hadn't referred to me as Sergeant. How are things at Fort Bliss, sir? That is what I said because I didn't know what else to say. After all, he called me. It was his move to get past small talk. Wish I knew, Bishop. I'm stuck at the Pentagon for the duration of this crisis. The time lag for signals to travel between Earth and the ship made for awkward conversation, so we paused a lot. Any chance you can give me a hint how long that'll be? You'll know when I know, sir. Can I assume this call is secure? It sounded like he was in a small room. There was a muffled echo when he spoke. I got a text message telling me no one can listen in, but I'm using a regular cell phone. I looked at my phone to check the call was going through the ultra-secure SkippyTel network. Yes, sir. This call is totally secure. The only people on the line are the 2 of us and a beer can. That got a chuckle from the general. I took that another good sign. I will never get used to that. All I did was tell my phone to call Colonel Joseph Bishop. I'm calling you from a supply closet in the D-ring. Captain Reed waved from the pilot couch to get my attention, gesturing to the main display that showed we now had plenty of charge for a jump out way past the orbit of Pluto. What can I do for you, General? Officially, I should order you to surrender the ship, but we both know that is a waste of time. Since this call is secure, it's also bullshit asking you to resign your command. Sir? Bishop, you've been out there. I haven't.
You and Chang are the only experienced starship commanders we have, and rumor has it the Chinese have Chang in an underground cell, so he's not going anywhere. Is the galaxy as big a shitstorm as the intel reports tell me?
I'd say it's a dumpster fire, sir. We don't have any allies out there, and we're not getting any. The idea that we can throw ourselves on the mercy of one side or the other is just a childish fantasy. I understand why the Security Council is panicked, but the action they planned will only ensure the extinction of our species. The Maxalks, the Rannan, Kristang, that coalition has good reasons to hate our guts, and they are hateful, murderous MFers who would kill us for fun anyway. The other side, the Rindaloo, are too old and lazy to do anything unless they have to, and no way are any of their clients sticking their necks out for us. Once the truth about us gets out, both sides are gonna fight over Skippy and that wormhole controller we have. Earth will get bulldozed in the crossfire. Surrender is not an option. Sir, it's just not.
I thought as much. Bishop, I have grandchildren. I'd like for them to have grandchildren, understand? That means someone needs to keep our little world safe for a good long time. Can you do that?
I will do my utmost, sir.
Shit, I hoped you didn't ask me what my plan was.
That's all I can ask. I haven't been fully read in on your missions, he admitted, which surprised me. The commander of the First Armored was a major general, and he had not been entrusted with a secret that was unraveling anyway?
From what I've heard, I expect you to go out there and kick ass. You hear me?
I hear you, sir.
And go with God. My prayers will be with you.
Bishop, when you come back, look me up. The old Ironsides would be honored to buy you a beer.
I will, sir.